Oh, hey, I'm Melissa Reynolds.
And I'm Todd Reynolds, coming in for episode number 27. 27!
27?
Of our podcast. We've been Reynolds'd.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Okay, we can't keep saying that after every single time you announce.
No, yeah, I know.
But really, it's a lot. I'm just like so proud of our...
1,827.
Right? I am so proud of our consistency.
Yes. If you can't be anything, be consistent.
Right?
I don't know if that even makes sense.
That doesn't make sense.
Probably not.
Okay, so our shout out tonight is going to be Diane Reynolds, your mom.
Hey, mom. Big fan.
That is so the way you actually say hi, mom, when she calls.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Hey, mom.
Yeah, all the time. Hey, mom.
Of course.
And
we were just talking about how they answer, right? I'm like, oh, hey, mom. You know.
Oh, that's so true.
How about this one? Oh, hi, sweetie.
Oh, great Nana. That's how she answers the phone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Always.
Always.
Oh, hi, sweetie.
Every single time.
Flossie, I love you.
So Diane has been listening to the podcast since the very beginning. Yeah. She's an OG.
OG.
She's a real fan.
Yeah, I think she likes them.
I think she likes them too.
She knows what we're talking about, right? She's got the back door scoop also, or whatever it is.
My favorite part of Diane is if I'm storying about you, and she thinks that you might be not treated properly for that story.
Well, of course, because you just take out your camera and there it is when I'm doing something. And
then she's like, oh, Todd, I love Todd. I'm like, yes, I love him too. I'm just teasing.
A great way to show it.
Yeah. Yes. So she's one thing that's really nice, I think, about the story is that our parents actually get to watch what's going on in our life all day, every day, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's really nice. I love when Diane sends a little heart to the story or says a little message, because then I know that she knows what's going on, and I love that. So
yeah, exactly. She can see what's happening, and, you know, she doesn't necessarily can't always get here or whatever, but she sees what's going on. So.
Which is kind of cool. So anyway, she's a super fan. We're super, appreciative of that and grateful for her. So there you go. Shout out to Diane.
Yep.
Diane Reynolds right there. Diane Marcellus, actually. Yeah. I think she goes by. There we go.
Oh, well, I call her mom.
I call her Diane.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Well, thank you. Okay, so what we're going to talk about, we've had some people ask if we could talk about parenting tips when our kids were younger.
Like what age?
Well, I was thinking we could start when they are like newborns. I am really passionate about the newborn stage.
Newborns, yeah.
And about how to make life easier for yourself when they are newborns. Because we had four.
We had four, yeah.
We had four under five. Like Emma wasn't quite six yet when we had had Cooper. Or was she? Maybe
well,
she was.
Brand new.
Brand new.
2, 4, and...
0, 2, 4, 6. She was just turned six
because Cooper's born in August. She's born in July.
So we had four kids under six, and she had just turned six. And yeah, life was pretty busy. Like it's a bit of a whirlwind.
Yeah, like I say every set. I don't remember.
He remembers. It's all the memories that compound together.
I'm sure they'll come back, but you know, it's just.
But it was a lot, and we did not know what we were doing whatsoever with Emma. We rocked her until she was 2.5 years old. That's not an exaggeration. Do not rock your children until they're 2. I mean, like, if you just want to spend time with them, do what you want. But if you want your kids to go to bed when you want them to go to bed, don't rock your kid until they're 2.5. They're longer than you. For me, she was longer than my torso. Like, don't do it. It's so much work. So we learned.
The memories are coming back.
Right? Yeah. But she was also, like, perfect.
Oh my
goodness. She was so, until 6 months, she cried. She cried from 0 to 6 months. But then after that, still to this day, it's rare that she says something negative. It's rare that she's unhappy.
We're very fortunate.
We are. Yeah. We're very fortunate that she was the first one that she was, well, not until six. I'm surprised we wanted another baby. She cried until she was 6 months old. But we're really fortunate that she's the role model for everybody.
Yeah.
Like really fortunate about that, right?
They don't always listen to her, but yeah.
No, they don't, but like just, she's a great person to look up to.
Yeah.
But what we learned, because she cried for the first 6 months, what we realized is I was nursing, and we realized so many things that, and again, this is us talking about how it worked for us. This is not a lactation nurse. This is not a doctor. This is not a therapist. This is just Todd and Melissa and how it worked for us, right?
Yes.
So Emma cried a lot, and it was exhausting. Like, I remember I would wake up in the middle of the night when she was first born. I'd be like, no, 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 no. And I would kind of hit the bed because I was so tired. And she never slept. Remember? She was up all night long because we didn't understand what her cry was.
Yeah. And then we found...
And we were so tired.
Then we found the Oval.
So we found Oval, that really... I don't even know if it's like a good natural solution now.
Who knows?
I think it's peppermint water.
Probably.
I don't even fully know what it is. Yeah. But all I know is it saved our lives. But if it's not healthy now, we're sorry that we're recommending this.
It's still on the shelves, but I don't know.
I think it is, like just like some sort of pepperminty stuff. We were so exhausted one night that we actually called the Oval hotline... He called the... We didn't even have cell phones then. It was long distance. And we called the Oval hotline to find out if you could overdose on Oval. Yes. And you can't, according to the hotline. But that being said, don't give your kid a whole bottle because that was just the hotline speaking 21 years ago.
Yes. Yes.
She would literally cry all night long.
Oh. Yeah.
And I would... And then another thing that would happen is that she would cry all day. So I would have to put her in this bouncy rocking chair. It was a rocking chair that turned into a little tiny bassinet that sat on the floor, and it vibrated, but it also went into a rocking chair. And if I wanted to have any time to do anything, I would have to put her in that, in the bathroom with the fan on, because there were no noise machines then. Or I had to turn Baby Einstein on and put her in front of Baby Einstein. But then there were reports of, like, Baby Einstein making you not be able to have an attention span or not, like, oh, my goodness. So I'd be like, I can't leave you in front of Baby Einstein too much longer when I'm having a shower because, and I probably wouldn't have left her in front of Baby Einstein when I was having a shower, but, oh, my goodness, it was hard. So then we knew, like, after Emma, I was like, I want 8 to 10 kids. Todd was like, I want 2. Then we compromised 8 on 3. Then we made a deal for 4.
Well, so if we were millionaires, we would have more kids.
Yeah, if we were millionaires, we would have had, like, we would have had probably, well, we would have had 6 for sure if we were millionaires, or if we had some money.
Yeah,
if we were millionaires, we'd have 8.
Well,
do you think? I would have.
I don't know. Probably not 8. What kind of vehicle could we get?
Right. We are so good with vehicles. We've got the nicest vehicles in town. Everybody wants to borrow our vehicles.
Uh-huh.
We don't put a lot of, if you know us, we don't put a lot of, like, importance in vehicles.
It gets us from A to B.
Which I'm sure people make fun of. We could talk about our vehicle situation one whole podcast, and people who know us would probably go hysterical. And people who don't know us that feel bad about their vehicles would feel not so bad anymore. Okay, so when we decided to have a second child, I personally wanted to have our kids 2 years apart because I really loved how close my sister and I were.
Yeah.
So because I, like, kind of had that plan, Todd went along with the plan.
I go along with most of your plans.
Yes.
It's just the way things
go. But I don't tell you have to. You just kind of go along with it. Do you feel like you have to?
What if I said I didn't want to go along with that plan?
Then I would, like, convince you until you wanted to go along with the plan.
So what's... Let's just cut to the chase.
That's what happened with number 4. So we decided, like, we were not going to be in the predicament of no sleep and a crying baby constantly. We were going to try our hardest not to allow that to happen. So we're going to give you our tips to help with a baby that might be crying, or when you're about to have a baby, what you could do. These are, like, some of our very important tips. The first tip is eat, play, sleep. When they're, like, a newborn, you start this. Like, when they are 3 days old, you start this. You start this immediately. And it's called eat, play, sleep. And it's not me who thought up this. Could you check and see, Sarah, who thought this up so I can like, because I don't want to take credit for something that I, like, I didn't even read the book. I just saw the words eat, play, sleep. And I was like, and somebody gave me the Coles notes because at the time, too busy. No attention span. So we did eat, play, sleep. What that meant was you fed the baby and you burped the baby. And then you played with the baby. When the baby's a newborn, you're not playing with the baby, but you keep that baby awake for a little bit of time. You play with their legs. You play with their, like, you do a little bit of playing. You talk to them. You're like, hello, la, 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 la. You keep them awake, even if they're a newborn, and you keep them awake for 5 minutes. Oh, a lot of people. So this is Melissa. This, I devised this because we don't know who started this. So you keep them awake for a little bit, again, even if they're a newborn, and then you let them sleep. Because what happens is a lot of kids, a lot of babies are not hungry again. They're tired. But you're like, oh, my baby must be hungry. I need to feed that baby again. And in reality, they need to sleep first. So they need to eat, burp them, play with them, sleep. Do not feed that baby again until they have slept. Because they're almost always just tired. And you're going to know as they get older, when they're a little bit older, you're going to hear them go, That means they're tired. That does not mean you need to feed them again. So eat, play, sleep. Eat, play, and sleep.
Never
eat.
Wake them up to feed them.
Well, doctors say you should. By Cooper, there was no waking any baby up to feed them. By Aunt Livia, too. There was no way we were waking up a sleeping baby. I think some people have to wake up their babies if their babies are really small. Or okay, like,
unless you want it, given medical advice to do so.
Yes. You really don't wake your baby up if you don't have to. I don't even think Emma, we were told, because she was a month premature, you need to wake her up to feed her. Oh, my goodness. She's not premature baby looking now.
No.
So we decided on Spencer, Olivia, and Cooper not to wake our baby up to feed them.
Right.
Because we needed to sleep.
Yeah.
So we did eat, play, sleep. As they got older, we continued eat, play, sleep, which meant they would eat, they would play as they got older, they would lay on their backs or their bellies and talk and play with us and look around and enjoy life, and then they would sleep. And when people say, oh, yeah, my baby at 3 months old never had a nap again. I'm like, you didn't do eat, play, sleep. And you didn't, like, you need to keep, when they start waking up and they look like they don't need a nap, it's usually just they're going through maybe a growth spurt, or they are trying to like figure out how to not sleep at that time. But if you consistently follow your pattern and follow your schedule, oh my goodness, they follow that schedule. Yeah. And so like until about 9 months old, they had two naps. They had, like, as they got older, they had two naps. They would have their 9:30 in the morning nap and their 12:30 in the afternoon nap. They napped like that until they were a year old, like after they would do the eat, play, sleep. And then they napped for years. Like, Emma was still napping at six because we needed a break.
Yeah.
Like, we just needed a break. Right?
We didn't nap, though. We should have napped.
We should have napped.
Oh, we should have napped.
It was when we needed to, like, clean something. Nap when your kids nap. It's hard, though. When everybody says that, that actually made me feel guilty all the time. When people would say, nap when your kids nap. Do you know how hard it is to nap when your kids nap? Because you haven't done anything all day, and you need to make some dinner.
Yeah.
And you need to clean once in a while. So if you're not napping when your kid naps, I get it. Another thing, if you're nursing or feeding in the middle of the night, don't feel guilty that you want to go and watch your Netflix show at the same time. Because when Emma was born, I was like, I can't do that. I need to sit in a quiet room and look at that baby face. You know what I was feeling in that quiet room looking at that baby face? I was feeling rage because I was awake. I'm not going to lie. I was like, I need sleep. But if I had given myself the permission to go, like I did for Spencer, Cooper, and Olivia, to go into the other room and to watch TV while I was nursing, then I wouldn't feel like, oh my gosh, why is this kid awake again? I remember by Cooper, I would have Gilmore Girls on, and I was excited to wake up to feed him in the middle of the night because it meant I got to watch my next episode. So don't feel guilty because somebody has told you that you should not be watching Netflix while you're nursing in the middle of the night, because Spencer, Olivia, and Cooper went right to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, they literally would go right back to sleep if I had to get up with them.
Because you were more relaxed too, right?
Like, right?
Yeah.
Another thing, if somebody tells you, I don't know if this is still happening, but when we had babies, everybody, no soothers.
Oh, give them a soother.
Do not use soothers. You're a bad parent if you use soothers. So I don't know if they're still saying this to you, but if they're telling you not to use a soother, you need to use a soother because it is going to save your life. So for Emma,
sissy.
A sissy. For Emma, we didn't bring any soothers to the hospital because I felt like I'd be a bad mother if I brought a soother to the hospital. We also didn't rent the TV at the time at the hospital because I felt like a bad mother. We were in the hospital for a long time for Emma with no TV and no soother. Oh. So then we got home and I was like, I got to give this kid a soother because this kid will not stop crying. So I remember like 2 weeks in, I was like, I need to give her a soother because I can't handle this. So I held the soother in her mouth very gently until she took it.
With your foot?
No. With my two fingers, very gently until she decided that she liked soothers. And then she loves soothers.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. And then what we would do, so she would try to stay asleep when we do this with all the kids, we would litter the crib with soothers. So when and Sarah's listening to this because she babysat for our kids for years and she knows all these tricks because by number four, we had it down pat. So we had soothers and I don't know, maybe Sarah used some of these tricks. I'm not sure if she used any of the tricks, but we would put them to bed as they got older and there were soothers all over. There were like 10 soothers. So if those babies woke up in the middle of the night or those kids woke up in the middle of the night, they could feel around that crib and find a soother to throw into their mouth. Yeah. Or when we got up in the middle of the night to go and see what was wrong with them, because normally once they get older, they're not hungry in the middle of the night. We would, and you know what? People are not going to agree with this. This is just how we made it work. We would be able to just find a soother and stick it in their mouth in the middle of the night. Do they still have those cribs that tell you if a kid is not like
the monitor on the
bottom that beeps if your baby rolls off of it?
Why wouldn't they?
They also didn't have any video things.
They play on paranoia.
Right? We didn't have any video cameras. You didn't have any of those, no. So we had to just guess to see and we had to sneak in their room and then crawl on our hands and knees because we didn't want them to see us.
Yeah. And they were fine every time. So don't feel like you have to do it.
Right. And then swaddling. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Once Spencer was born, swaddling saved our lives. And we were like, Todd was a hardcore swaddler.
I was. As tight as I could go.
Right? Maybe don't do that because we don't know how safe that is. But we like to swaddle with their arms in because they would stay sleeping way longer if their arms were swaddled. And then we graduated to the sleep sack. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do remember that,
Swaddle them with their arms in because if their arms are out, then they move their arms and they wake themselves up and then you're back down that road again. So swaddling was huge.
Yeah.
Another thing, what else was huge?
Well, I really enjoyed the snot sucker. I did like that. To make sure that they're nice and clear, we had the little bulbous thing and you suck the snot.
Yes, Todd was like a definite pro at the snot sucker for sure. He did that often.
You put up your nose, you put your thumb over the one nostril, you let it out, and you take your thumb off and sucks it all out.
It's true. I wonder if like white adults don't use the snot sucker.
I don't know. I should get one for myself.
You should. No, please don't do that. And then another thing that we found that really, 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 really helped is the love toy.
Oh, yes.
Emma had Ellie. Spencer had Monkey Baby.
Yeah.
Livy had Puppy. And Cooper had Bear.
Yes.
And they were TY toys that were thin enough to be safe in their bed, but also nice enough that they could hold them. And we had, after Emma only had one Ellie, she still has it at school right now. It's like a little pink elephant.
Ratty as anything. No.
Yeah. But we bought like two or three of all the other ones so that if they went to my mom's or they went to daycare, they had one that would stay there. But that one little stuffy was only allowed in their bed. They were not allowed to take that out of their beds.
Yeah.
They were not allowed to take that out at daycare. They were not allowed to take that out at my mom and dad's. It would stay in wherever they are because then they would associate that with sleep.
Yeah.
So at like maybe a month and a half years, like when they were a month and a half, we introduced these little bear stuffy things and we would just kind of like, they would be swaddled so they couldn't even touch it. But we would just like rub it on the side of their cheek. And when they went to bed, it was there. And then as they progressively got older, they associated their soother and their stuffy, their love toy, with sleep. So we were able to literally go, okay, it's time to sleep now. We would put them down. We would put their soother in their mouth. And we would give them that specific toy that meant, because they had nothing else in their crib or their whatever they slept in, that one little love toy would mean it was time to bedtime, go to bed.
Yeah.
And they would wake up.
After the songs and stories. After,
yeah.
And
all that. We didn't do as many songs when they were like before a year old, probably, right? Like we would sing to them a little bit, but more when we were laying in bed with them. So like if you want your kid to sleep, that's the thing. And then a schedule. A schedule is so important. However, with Emma, we had such a tight schedule that didn't work. And we were so stringent when somebody wanted to help us. Well, you need to follow this schedule and you need to do this and you need to follow all these rules and you need to feed them this certain way. And like, if I could tell you one trick right now, if somebody is offering to help you, if your mother-in-law is offering to help you, if your friend is offering to help you, if your husband is offering to help you, if somebody wants to help you and take that baby for a little while, you say yes. And if they don't follow that schedule perfectly, you say no problem. Because honestly, if I could do anything differently, I would have been less strict on my schedule when somebody wanted to help me. Would you? Because then people give up. People will then be like, I can't help this girl. She's like, she's crazy. She has so many rules to take care of this kid. So I think by Cooper, I was just like, take him. Here you go. Here's Cooper Reynolds. Take him. Do whatever you want.
Take this big-eyed Furby.
Yeah. Or even by Olivia, we were probably like that, right? Yeah. But so anybody listening to this, if you babysat for us, if you, I don't think Sarah had to worry about this so much, but more because she was just kind of used to how everything worked. But because Sarah, our producer, was also our babysitter for years, because I didn't want to bug my, we didn't want to bug our parents at night. So we paid for a babysitter at night. That's another thing I'll talk about quickly. So if somebody is offering to help you, say yes. If somebody is offering to come over and help you so that you can have a nap, do it. If somebody's offering to take your baby for 2 hours, they're going to be careful.
Yeah.
They're going to try their hardest to be careful with your baby. They're going to probably just hold your baby the whole time. Say yes. Let somebody help you.
Or use a baby as bait.
What does that mean?
Chick magnets. Babies, aren't they?
Oh my goodness. Huh? You're such a geek.
Friends want to borrow our kids.
Oh, you're such a geek. Not one friend wanted to borrow our kids.
Well, maybe they asked me, not you.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. But just, you know, let them.
That's a joke. Come on.
Let them. And then if you want to go out, go out. So if you're nursing, another trick, and again, I don't know what the lactation consultants are saying now, but one thing we learned after Emma is if you want to go out, make sure your baby can take a bottle.
Yeah.
Like for Spencer, Olivia, and Cooper, Todd would give the baby, so we would do like the can of Enfamil, and we wouldn't even warm it up, and we would make sure that our babies could take that non-warmed up so that anybody could babysit for you, or your husband can take care of the baby. Yeah. And if nursing's not for you, then it's not for you. And I just think you can't feel guilt about that. You cannot feel bad about that. And no one should be able to make you feel bad about that. Because I saw so many of my friends who could not nurse and they felt so much guilt. And that kind of ruins it. You're still with your baby when you're feeding your baby. Just try really hard not to feel bad about the things you can't control, because honestly, are Emma, Spencer, Olivia, and Cooper thinking about any of those things right now? Yeah, they are not. They right. know. They have no idea. All they know is that we love them.
Yeah.
All they know when I started being less crazy about the schedule and more people were with them, like we had tons of people around our babies even at the beginning with Emma, but I remember at six months old, my grandmother was dying and we were at the Georgian Manor a lot, and I had to just like say, take Emma, take Emma, take Emma, and it was fine. Yeah. Everything was fine, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
I think the thing is with this is how we survived having four kids under six. We had a schedule. We had a love toy. We did eat, play, sleep, which was huge. We really just relaxed.
Yeah.
And we let them have a soother, and we watched Netflix when we were nursing, and we let them have a bottle once in a while.
We had that thing in the crib that you'd press.
Yeah, we had Ocean Wonders, but I don't know if Ocean Wonders still exists. But Ocean Wonders was another big thing. And we didn't go and get them the second they started crying in the morning, because sometimes they were just, because as they got older, we would also put board books all over their crib so that they could find a board book to read before they needed to get picked up, right?
Yeah.
So just like, as a new parent, have the schedule. I love talking about this. So as a new parent, if you're listening to this and you're like, I want her to tell me this, I want her to write this out, I will write this out. I will talk to you. I just never want to bug a new parent because I don't want them to feel like I'm being bossy, because that's also annoying. But if you need any help or tips and tricks, I'm here.
Yes, you are.
I am. Like, I swear by this method. I swear by eat, play, sleep. I swear by letting them have a soother. I swear by a schedule, like a good schedule, unless somebody's trying to help you, and then just let them go out. If you go out for lots of walks, find baby groups. I had my friend Kara that for my last two babies, we would go out for walks all day long. We would go out for lunch with them. And then we also did baby groups. So we would do, because I had so many kids, I went through a lot of friends, and we would meet at least once a week in somebody's house, and we would have baby day. And that went on for like 10 years. And we would also meet at a center. And you need to find other moms, even if they're not the same age as you, find other moms, talk to other moms who are going through the same thing, and don't be hard on yourself, and stop feeling guilt. Because your kids, if you're showing them love, they're going to feel the love. And if you're making mistakes, they're not going to remember that. They're going to feel how much you love them.
Exactly.
Right? All right. That's how we did it. I could talk about this all day. I'm sorry. I don't know if you talked a lot.
That's okay. Well, you were the primary caregiver. Like, I did a lot too, but you were the main one.
Well, you did a ton, but yeah, I was home the most.
I don't know. It just seems like a
and
blur.
And you tutored until...
If it's like a blur, then that's fine too.
You tutored at night for a long time, for a lot of years too. So you were gone usually till like 9 o'clock at night, and then you would tutor in our house.
Yeah.
Whew, we had a lot of extra jobs.
A lot of things, whatever. But everything's relative, right? Some people might not have that, and they'd be like, oh, I'm so busy. Like, whatever, so.
Right?
Yeah. None of our kids are vegan, though.
No, they're not.
No. If two vegans get in a fight, can you still call it a beef?
I was like, where are you going with this? I don't want to insult any vegans.
There's nothing wrong with vegan.
No,
it's just a joke.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. Can't wait to be back here for episode number
28.
Woo!
It's not a lot. It's not a lot.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Summer days will always stay.